This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Welcome to another edition of the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast. It's an emergency episode here on a Friday afternoon. Dion Broomfield, former Cyclone Dion Broomfield, was hired this morning as they're announced as the new safeties coach at Iowa State, taking over for DK McDonald, who was an original member of the Matt Campbell's staff in Ames. He took a new job with the Philadelphia Eagles earlier this week. Another Matt Campbell has turned to one of the better Cyclone defensive backs of the last 10 years or so in Coach Broomfield. So who better to bring on to talk about Dion Broomfield than Dion Broomfield's former teammate at Iowa State? That is Mr. Jeff Woody, who is driving in his Chevy Colorado right now. I have no idea where he's going. He could be going anywhere that's possibly conceivable, but I know that he is currently on the move.
Carl Chevrolet Chevy Colorado, 2018, black, with Apple CarPlay. Wonderful. So it's cool to see that Dion got a job at Iowa State. And I think, like, there's a bunch of just fun little, like, layers to this. The first is Dion's just a good person. Like, he's a good human being. And he's one of those people that, like, when you're in a room with them, you can, like, you feel like he also wants you in that room. Like, you don't feel like you are, he's above the conversation, no matter who is in the room. And I think part and parcel with that is if you're a really good communicator and you really kind of understand that, and you're just able to know what you're talking about, you're going to become a really good coach because you can meet people where they are. Like, if a person needs to get kind of yelled at to be motivated, then you can do that. If a person needs to kind of, not, I don't want to say coddled in a bad way, but like, hey, this is what we're expecting out of you. You know, if you're able to be a good communicator and do both those things and know what you're talking about, you're just bound to be a good coach. And so it's not surprising that Dion has kind of gone up the ladder as fast as he has, which we can get to in a second. The other thing is, if you could recruit to your alma mater, wouldn't you recruit really well to your alma mater? Because you went there, you enjoyed your time there, and now you've come back to coach there. So that's a really powerful recruiting tool that he can go into a place and say, like, no, this is, you believe it to your bones that this is something that you should come also experience. So that is just a lot of really cool layers, and good for Dion. Good dude.
For sure, man. And I mean, you mentioned how quickly he's risen, into this position. For the last three seasons, he was the cornerbacks coach at Indiana State, had an all Missouri Valley Conference performer, a guy that was ninth nationally in forced fumbles at least one time, and then was the cornerbacks coach at Western Illinois in 2016 and the safeties coach at Carthage College in Wisconsin back in 2015. So this has just been like, And then he spent a season as a defensive assistant in 2020 with the Houston Texans. So, like, he's got a pretty solid coaching resume for the fact that he only got out of college, 8 years ago. And now he's really, put in a lot of work with a lot of places and some pretty high leverage situations.
Well, and I think that's a testament to Dion himself. Because he and I were in the same graduating class, or same high school class, same recruiting class, all 5 years. But I think that's also a testament to the coaches that he had, which is, I mean, Paul Rhodes is a defensive backs coach. Like, at his core, he's a defensive backs coach. Then you have guys like Bobby Elliott, rest in peace, God rest his soul. But then you have, Troy Douglas as the guys that were his coaches. Chris Ash was his coach for a year. And so, like, you have these really quality coaches to learn from a bunch of different places. I mean, you have Paul Rhodes, Chris Ash, Bobby Elliott and Troy Douglas are the four guys that could not be more different. But they're all really intelligent in how they go about doing it. So you can pull pieces from each one of them. And then, you know, the guys that he's worked with professionally, I couldn't toss that list out. But just the way that you can kind of just work with and learn from everyone about how to become better at what he's, again, just in bringing up the fact he's a good dude. Another thing that, like, is sort of indicative of someone who you just naturally respect is someone who doesn't get in their own way by saying, I'm too smart to learn this. Where Deion's has always been a guy of saying, all right, I need to learn more about this, and I have a way of doing it, but a coach says I should try it this way, so I'll give it a shot. And, like, then incorporates lessons that he's just consistently. So he's a guy that's not too proud to learn, but is confident enough to teach.
And I think the other cool thing is just that, you know, this is a further or another, you know, step for Coach Campbell, where he has, you know, when they've had people leave the program, they've not been afraid to go and, you know, put guys in positions that, you know, are young, played relatively recently, and, you know, put them in a position that maybe they've never been before, where, you know, you think about a guy like Nate Shielhouse and all the responsibilities that he's been able to gain. Jeff Myers, obviously another one, when he was hired as the offensive line coach. And now Deion, I mean, that's, you just see how young this staff is, and, like, they're all charismatic guys, you know, and there's this cool mix of where you've got the, you know, the veterans like a Coach Haycock and a Eli Rashid, a Tyson Veit, you know, Tom Manning. And then everybody else is, like, they're these young dudes that are hungry and just, like, trying to, you know, prove themselves and work their way through the business.
Yeah. And I think it's also a really good compliment, because every level of this defense is different than what most people have probably implemented before. Like, I bet Deion has not coached this style defense, I would imagine, just because it is different than 99% of defenses run, whether it's a two high safety or even a three high safety. The way that this is performed is more multiple and more kind of out in the clouds of how you're going to be operating it. So he's going to have to kind of crash course learn, but it's also a compliment to say, like, we don't need someone that's done this exact scheme. We need a smart guy who's charismatic, can connect with people and learn. And then who better to learn from? I think last year, cause it wasn't interim coach for the Texans, Romeo Crennel.
Yeah.
So you have Romeo Crennel, who's a pioneer in defense in his own right, back in however long he's been doing it. And now you get to learn from John Haycock. So understanding it, like, we got a young, like you're talking about, like, another Nate Shielhouse, another Myers, that's like a guy who's hungry, young, willing to learn, understands that in order to do this right, I have to take the lessons from the people around me, and then I'm just going to apply that with a ton of enthusiasm.
Right. And I mean, he obviously has a pretty good group to work with as well. When you consider Isheem Young, Greg Eisworth, and some of the other guys that are coming back in that safeties room, like, you don't imagine that being in any way a struggle. Like, he doesn't have to come in and build that group up or anything like that. Like, shoot, those guys, I mean, Greg Eisworth could probably teach Deion Broomfield the defense, you know, with how much played in it at this point.
Yeah. So you have, and he's the safeties coach. So there is also a cornerbacks coach, and Haycock generally stays with the defensive backfield. So, like, well, he'll float around. The defensive coordinator is going to float around, but, like, you have multiple layers of, there's not going to be too much responsibility on him right away if he's not comfortable with it. But the more he learns, the more he's able to kind of stand on his own 2 feet, the more the other guys can kind of, you know, go back to when DK McDonald was there, like, kind of go back to doing what they're doing. But there's enough bandwidth right now to, at least while he's learning, while he's trying to get into the system, kind of hop in. But talking about kind of what the lay of the land is with the job, 50% of being a college coach is recruiting. And Deion could probably teach a few people on the staff about how to recruit to Iowa State, even though, you know, they've done it and done it really well. But, like, what did he receive as a player 10 years ago, 12 years ago, that brought him to Iowa State? So things that are continuing to become, like, where his passion comes from. So recruiting, he's going to be right out the gate. Like, he doesn't have to learn about the history of the university or, you know, the history of Jack Trice or whatever, because that stuff he already knows. That's already part of him. So the recruiting where recruiting and spring ball are what is going on in this time of year.
Right. And it'll be, I mean, I'm sure it will be cool for him to come back and knowing all of those things that drew him to Iowa State in the past, but like how much better now things are than they were then. You look at what Jack Trice Stadium looks like. You look at the Sports Performance Center that they're going to have. Like, you have all of those things that would have attracted someone like him from Florida to come and play football in Ames, Iowa. And now you have like all this other stuff that puts you up there, you know, in line with some of the better programs in college football. Like, that's what's going to be so cool about it. You know, it's like, you can not only sell the fact that, like, you can sell like, man, I came here when we didn't have shit, you know, and now we've got everything.
Yeah.
And like, that's what I think is going to be, it would be fun for him. I would imagine.
Yeah. Yeah. It's sort of like you, you know, your parents get a new car and then you're still driving this old beater. And all of a sudden you go off to college and your dad's like, all right, here's the brand new car that I was using. So like, you still want to go home, but now while you're home, you get to use the nicer stuff that you didn't have before. So it's still, yeah, the passion that he has for the university now can, like you're talking about, get translated into like all these new bells and whistles and fun stuff that like makes Iowa State a genuine destination to go to.
Absolutely. All right, man, you got anything else to add? This was going to be a short one just to give some quick reaction, but if you've got anything else you want
just
to throw
a little
out
fart.
There. Yeah, just a short
just fart. A little fart today.
A popcorn fart.
A popcorn fart. Just so no, the thing that it's just cool to see people my age now getting jobs that, you know, people that I know now getting jobs in the places, like a former roommate of mine's an offensive coordinator at a Division II school. You have another one of my, or a friend of mine's a division or an offensive line coach at a Sunbelt school. Like, it's fun to see kind of my generation of players and guys that I was friends with, played with, get to be coaches, because now as the things that were cutting edge when I was in school back in the day, you know, the Chip Kelly offenses, the Lincoln Riley offenses, Bob Stoops offenses, those are now kind of become the norm. And so being having guys that played it and can understand what was good and what was bad about it now allows just the general flow of college football across the board to, you know, just be revamped at a faster rate, to understand where the weaknesses in these different schemes are. So it's kind of fun to see the evolution and like the next generation of coaches starting to get their place.
Does it make you feel bad that all those other guys are doing these cool things and then you're doing a podcast with me?
I always feel bad about doing a podcast with you. Just every time I get in the microphone, I'm like, damn it. I have to do this again with Jared. Again.
It's okay. It doesn't hurt at all. I don't take it personally.
I'm fine.
All right, buddy. We'll talk again soon. I'm sure there'll be something else that'll happen that will require our immediate attention at some point here in the next several weeks.
An emergency fart.
An emergency
very
fart.
Very quickly get a hold. That's you weren't sure if this could happen, what the intensity of the fart was going to be. You rolled the dice. You rolled the dice on a fart. Quick little fart. Safe.
Thanks everybody for listening. We'll talk to you guys again soon. Peace.